Ah, he's just a chip off the block. Huh? He's just like his dad. That's what he is. Just like his dad. He acts like his dad. He looks like his dad. He talks like his dad. Ah, he's just like his dad. We've often said that in various ways to various people about various other people about looking like their father. Oh, she is just like. We've been talking about sins of the fathers the last day or so. Sins of the fathers. We've looked at, and we're going to look at today, the impact of sins of the fathers on biblical individuals in the Word of God. We followed some kings and we followed some rulers of Israel and Judah, one after the other, and they did more sin, or they sinned against God more than their father. And he sinned against God more than all of his fathers before him. And he sinned against God more than anyone has ever sinned against God. You can read that in the scripture about the kings. Finally, God just got rid of them all and sent them to Babylon. And see, and this is important to us. Yesterday, we concluded thinking about generations. Now, the scripture tells us that sins of the fathers follow to four generations, and righteousness goes to 10 generations, twice as much plus two, right? Now, if you look at four generations, just kind of a little thought. It's staggering when it says, visiting the iniquity on the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. There's a minimum of two parents, four grandparents, eight grandparents, and 16 great-great-grandparents for a total of 30. That's minimum. Now, when you think of that, divorce, marriage, remarriage, adoption, abortion. Ooh, thought about that? Abortion, killing the generation there. Now, when you look at that, it's staggering. And these are sins of the fathers. The iniquity passes 30 people in four generations. 30 people in four generations. And there's no escape from the generations coming. Now, of course, there's mechanism of transferring the sins of the fathers. Well, sins of the fathers are passed through genes. You're hearing this a lot now about the trans community, right? Then you have the growing up environment. You don't need any explanation about that. Then you have the laws of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man sows, therefore he shall also reap. So if a father sows unrighteousness into his family, there's going to be what? Unrighteousness reaped. Plant seed, it's grass, you get grass. Plant corn, you get corn. Plant evil, you get evil. And finally, there's demons and devils in operation. anger, rejection, abandonment. Runs rampant. Don't you see that, what's going on right now? I'm sure you do. In our communities, they're going crazy. They're just absolutely out of control. It's horrible, and it's horrid, and it leads to devastation. I was watching, after the program yesterday, the funeral service of that police officer. Broke my heart. 24 years old, she was on her way to graduate this week on her, actually yesterday, for her master's degrees. Standing in front of her house, four teenage boys, I guarantee you, sins of the fathers, robbing cars, shooting people, firing. She was not even on duty. She just happened to be there. She gets out of work, goes home, standing in the yard, ready to go in the house, and these demon-possessed boys shoot her dead. Had her funeral yesterday. Sins of the fathers that we're talking about here. Genes, growing up environment, laws of sowing and reaping, and demonic oppression. Let me give you some frequent sins of the fathers. Frequent. Abandonment. How many times we hear that? Abuse. Emotional, physical, mental, and sexual. Hear it all the time, right? Addictions. Anger, rage, and violence. Control, possessiveness, and manipulation. Emotional dependency. Fears of all kinds. Idolatry. Money extremes, greed, or lack. Not caring for children. They cared for the kids, they wouldn't abort them. And they wouldn't cut out on them. Parental inversion, physical infirmities, pride, rebellion, rejection, insecurity, religious bondage, cults, occults, demons, devils, sexual sin and perversion. That's what we're having today, right? Sexual sin and perversion. Look at, you know what, tragically, you know, somebody's going to get mad, that's fine. You have these homosexual couples adopting children. Adopting children. You have lesbians adopting children. So they're teaching the sins of the fathers that it's okay. What do you expect from these kids? Sexual sin, perversion, unbelief, unworthiness. Low self-esteem, inferiority, witchcraft, occult, and of course, Satanism. These are all frequent sins of the fathers. Disease, just on and on it goes. Yesterday, I was mentioning about how if a father raises the children correctly, the generation goes to 10. Jonathan Edwards, who was they say the greatest theologian that North America ever produced. I'm not arguing that. Like I said, I have a book that my son gave me for Christmas on the life of Jonathan Edwards. Took me 10 years to read it. Left it on the corner of my desk. 10 years to read that book. I'd read it and go, oh, I got to look at this. Oh, wow, look at this. 10 years to read a book. Kept it on the corner of the very desk I'm sitting at in the very studio with all the equipment. Yeah. And I told you the difference between sins of the fathers and the descendant, and righteousness and the descendant. I told you about that. There was, during about the same time Jonathan Edwards was living, there's another man living. His name was Max Jukes, J-U-K-E-S. He was born in 1720. He was an atheist. He married an ungodly woman. And in 1900, an American pastor and educator named Albert Edward Winslip wrote a book entitled Jukes, Edwards, A Study in Education and Heredity. And he traced these two men, Max Jukes and Jonathan Edwards. Here's what he did. You ready for this? He studied 540 descendants of the atheist Max Jukes. Buckle your belt. There was 310 died as paupers. 150 were convicted criminals. There were 7 murders, over 100 drunkards, and 190 female prostitutes. Sins of the fathers. To be, I don't believe it. There's your proof. Look it up. Max Jukes, J-U-K-E-S, from a book by Albert Edward Winslip, entitled Jukes Edwards. I'm going to say this again. Look at this. 310 died as paupers. 150 were convicted criminals. There were 7 murders, over 100 drunkards, and 190 female prostitutes. Sins of the fathers. Now let's look at Edwards. Look at the contracts here. Look at the children of two very different men. Are you ready? 1,394 studied descendants. All right, that's how many was studied. I guess they could not track more than the 540 in Max Jukes' family. Who knows what happened to them? I know what happened to Edwards. Look at this. 1,394 studied descendants. All right. Here's what came. An American vice president. 3 senators. 3 governors. 3 mayors. 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 65 college professors, 100 lawyers, 60 physicians, 75 military officers, 100 preachers and missionaries, 60 prominent authors, and 80 other public officials. You understand that? Same time period. Sins of the fathers generated 310 died paupers, 150 were convicted criminals, 7 murderers, 100 drunkards, and 190 female prostitutes. Versus American vice president, 3 senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 65 college professors, 100 lawyers, 60 physicians, 70 military officers, 100 preachers and missionaries, 60 prominent authors, and 80 other public officials. Fact. Sins of the fathers. They follow right after dad. Right after dad. One after the other. One after the other. One after the other. Following dad. Following dad. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. Incredible. I'm going to give you some biblical examples of sins of the fathers and curses. Now remember, when you look at this, they're in the Bible. They're there for a reason. They're there not for a countdown. They're there for learning and principles. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully furnished unto good works. That's why it's there. That's why it is there. Going to talk about it in a little while. Here's one of the biblical examples is David. David, premier example of king, priest, prophet, foreshadowing of Christ. We know that. We read about him in 1st, 2nd Samuel, and 1st Kings. David's accomplishments are legendary. Victories in battle, conquests, favor with people, favor with God. Then comes the encounter with Bathsheba. An encounter both causes and marks at the pinnacle of his career. Now, David is at the top of the ladder when this happened. And when that happened, David's life began to deteriorate. Wait a minute. He got forgiveness. Yes, he did. But the sins of the fathers and the resulting in curses operated in the family line and did not stop because he was forgiven. Now, listen to me. Hear people say that. Listen. The cross stops the curses when appropriated in freedom in our lives. Absolutely. One example? A murderer kills a person. Bang, dead. They find Jesus. Does a murderer come back to life? Well, he's okay. How about the one that was murdered? Forgiveness is a wonderful gift of God. Now, what happens is David conceives a child out of wedlock, right, with Bathsheba. Don't forget, because a seed was planted, it produced a harvest, period. A seed planted produces a harvest. Whatsoever person man soweth, he shall also reap. So David planted a physical seed, of course, into Bathsheba, but a spiritual one too. He had forgiveness of the physical one. And he had forgiveness in his life, but the seed was planted. Now, David entered into the sins of adultery, deception, conspiracy, and murder. 2 Samuel 11:4 tells us about the adultery. 2 Samuel 11:8-12-13 tells us about the deception. 2 Samuel 11:14-15 tells us about the conspiracy. Think about this. And 2 Samuel 11:16-17 talks about murder. After David sinned with Bathsheba, he's confronted by Nathan the prophet. He becomes humiliated and exposed by Nathan. David receives a multi-part curse from God. 2 Samuel 12, 10 through 14. The curses and penalties of his sins he committed. And David's ancestors are going to reap the harvest what David sown. Now we know that the death of the child from the affair. We know that, 2 Samuel 12, 15 through 19. We know that. Child dies. Doesn't stop the curse from going on. David repents. I'm sure he does. David repents. And we read his repentance in Psalm 51. It's a wonderful psalm. It's a marvelous psalm. But it doesn't stop the curses. No, it doesn't. It gets Dave back on track, but the curse in the family continues. Later, one of David's son, Ammon, rapes Tamar. 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 18, which leads to Ammon being murdered by Absalom. 2 Samuel 13, 18 through 29. Deception, lying, and conspiracy all involved. Absalom then rebels against David, the king, and conspires to take over the kingdom. 2 Samuel 15. The story ends with Absalom's death and with much destruction of Israel, just as the prophet had spoken. Incredible. See 2 Samuel 18, 14. If you follow the history of Israel in the line of David, you find the same sins of the fathers and the outworking, revealing curses occurring time after time. We're going to talk about that after we pray today, okay? We're talking about David. We're talking about his ancestors. We're talking about sins of the fathers in David's life. We've talked about the situation with Bathsheba, gave scripture references. Look it up for yourself. As things progressed from David to his family, remember, you sow the seed, you get the harvest. That's simple. But I have repented. Fine. Sow the seed, get the harvest. A murderer kills a person, they die. The murderer repents, the person does not come back to life. They're still dead. You see? Whatsoever a person sows, they shall also reap. Flesh, flesh. Spirit, spirit. All right. Now, David fell into this. We know that. We talked about that in the last segment. David fell into adultery, deception, conspiracy, and murder. We know the child died. Gave scripture for that. As progress time came, David's sons, Ammon, rapes Tamar, which leads to Ammon being murdered by Absalom. Deception, lying, conspiracy, all involved. Absalom rebels against David, his father, the king, and conspires to take over the kingdom. The story and account ends with Absalom's death and with much destruction in Israel. Now, let's continue to follow David's sin as it related to sins of the fathers. Here comes Solomon, second son of David and Bathsheba. A lot of people confuse that Solomon was not the first son. First son died. David's second son with Bathsheba was Solomon. He became king. wisest man that ever lived. But he's not wise.